Amen. I think no one can deny, as we look at the spiritual situation across not only our nation, but across even this wee land of ours, there is so much that ought to trouble the hearts of the people of God. And yet, my friend, I suppose something that is equally troubling is that many of God's people are not troubled at all about the situation. It seems to be that they can get themselves into just an old rut. And why not expect God for to do anything because we're living such dark days? We know that the Bible tells us in the last days that perilous times shall come. And men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And people say to me today, but preacher, those are the days that we're living in. So we ought not to expect very much to happen in these days. Is that true? My friend, is it a hopeless situation? If you look down in verse number 11 of this chapter 37, it says, "Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost." And sad to say, that is the reality for many of God's people. They really believe that their hope is lost, that God is not going to do anything more, really, in this day, in this generation. And so they sit back and they just accept the situation as it is. When the children of Israel or the Jews were taken into Babylon, in the first deportation, there were those godly young men that took a stand for God, like Daniel. Daniel's name means God is judge. And then that tells me that Daniel was reared in a godly home, a God-fearing home, and yet at 15 years or 16 years of age, Daniel was taken into a foreign land. And my friend, he did everything to make Daniel do what the Babylonians did. He had three friends that the Word of God mentions as well. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And yet their names was Hananiah, which means Jehovah is gracious. Mishael, which means who is like God. And then we have Azariah, Jehovah is my helper. And that shows me once again, they were reared in godly homes under God-fearing parents. And my friend, that stood them in good stand. And that's what I say to every parent tonight that's listening to me. Remember what the Word of God says. Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Here was a young lad at 15, 16 years of age. He was taken into a foreign land. And friend, he was told to eat the king's meat. And I to drink the king's wine. And yet that meat had been sacrificed to idols. What would Daniel do? He did what a godly fellow ought to do. It says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not eat the king's meat. He took a stand for God, even though he was only a child. He took a stand for God. And so did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They even were thrown into the fire, but they would not bend. They would not bow in glory to God. Under God, they would not burn. They took their stand for God. Daniel was faithful in his day. Ezekiel was in the second group of the Jews that were taken away captive. And Ezekiel was 25 years old. Of age at the time that he was captured. He was taken away. There was 6 years before the destruction of Jerusalem. Jeremiah was the prophet who ministered to the Jews that were still back home in Jerusalem. But Ezekiel was the man that God had called to preach to those who were in captivity. Not an easy place. What did they say? Can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? They said, sing one of your songs. And we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion, when we remembered what it used to be. But you see, friends, Jerusalem and the Jews had been judged because of their sin. They had turned away from the things of God, and their hearts had grown cold, and others had turned to idolatry and turned away from God completely. And God brought judgment upon them, and they were chastised under a Babylonian pagan king. They were chastised and they were carried away to Babylon. The message that God's servant Ezekiel brought to the people in captivity He reminded them of God's judgment was because of their sin. And friends, you and I have got to face the reality. What is happening across the world? You notice whenever you think about the COVID-19 and people are afraid and everything else, but they'll do everything and anything, but you never hear about them honoring God or praying. Never hear about them calling on God to intervene. Because let's be honest, God's not mentioned. God is not mentioned. And our leaders will talk about everything else, but God seems to be left out of the situation completely. Ezekiel was called of God and he told them, he said, you know, you're here because of your sin. You're in captivity because of your sin, the judgment of God because of sin. But thank God he had another message. He was able to tell them that there was coming a day of restoration when God would bring his people back to their land again. And I do believe that God can stir the hearts of Ulster once again and turn the people back to God. Because the people of Ulster have been richly blessed. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what you did in our day and their days. And we have heard what God did. 1859 revival, but God's still the same. God's still able to do the same, friend. We have seen in the early days of the Free Presbyterian Church how that God swept across this country and people separated from apostasy and they took a stand for God and for righteousness and for truth and they said, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And my friend, they lifted high the blood-stained banner of the cross and they gathered in their hundreds and their thousands to hear God's precious word. But we're far from that today. Yes, I know we're under different circumstances now, but let's be honest, before COVID ever hit Ulster, Ulster had turned away from God. It turned its heart away from the things of God, and the day of God was just like any other day. And God was not honored or glorified. Sad to say, we're in a bleak situation. And so they were in the days of Ezekiel. For God's people are in captivity. And they lost hope. Can I ask you a question? Do you think the situation is hopeless? As you look around the world tonight and see what's happening in the world, if you look around the United Kingdom, a land that was so richly blessed, what did the Queen of England say? The secret of England's greatness was the open Bible. And the secret of her decline is the closed Bible. And churches are closing and mosques are opening. And God's word is not being proclaimed. And sad to say, many who ought to know the gospel, they're no longer preaching the old-fashioned gospel that they're preaching to please the crowd and to entertain the people that have turned away from the word of God. Situation in Ezekiel's day seemed hopeless. Your God promised. God says, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do a new thing. And God will be glorified once again. I believe his name will be honored once again in this wee land we love the best. You know, Ezekiel's name means God will strengthen or strengthened by God. And you know what God used, Ezekiel? He used him to strengthen the hearts of God's people when they felt that everything was lost and everything was hopeless. You know, I believe there's a ministry that is a great blessing. It's a ministry of encouragement. And I believe we ought to encourage one another. God's people ought to encourage one another in the Lord because God is able. We cry unto the Lord, Lord, revive thy work, O God. Thy mighty arm make bare. And thank God his arm is still mighty. And he can make bare that mighty arm in the salvation of God's precious. You know what God showed? Even in the day of adversity and captivity, God was not finished with his people. And I'm glad to tell you tonight in Coleraine, God's not finished with us. Because God has a work for us still to do until Jesus comes. Or until Jesus calls, we've got to occupy until he come. Now notice first of all, in verse number 1 here, there's a stirring. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. Friend, this was not some fleshly emotional thing, but this was a visitation of God. And friend, we're not looking for some high or some fleshly uplift. We need a visitation of the Spirit of God. And God, the Bible says, the Spirit of God carried Ezekiel, and the Spirit of God set him down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. It's a desperate sight. Verse number 2 says, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Very many, very dry. A hopeless situation. Nobody would have gone to this valley, friend, except the Lord had taken them. But I believe that the Lord was wanting Ezekiel to see something. To see the awful need of the hour. To catch a glimpse of the reality of the spiritual situation of the people of Israel, that they had turned away from God, and they were just like those dry bones. They were very dry. The Lord wanted to see him, to grasp the seriousness of the situation. You know, the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. And I believe that before God's people will ever get up and do something for God, they've got to see the need. They've got to see the situation as it is. To catch the vision, Ezekiel saw a vision of barrenness, of dryness, of desolation, of destruction, of devastation, of decay. I believe it broke his heart. You know, we live in a day when many of God's people are so apathetic. They're so indifferent. They know that the situation's great. They know it's grievous, but as the wee verse says, few there are who seem to care. And few there be to pray, oh God, touch my heart, and God, fill my life, and give me souls each day. And you know what the Lord did? Not only was he carried, he was set down in the valley. In verse number 2, he caused me to pass by them, round about. In other words, the Lord told him, Ezekiel, I want you to walk through them. I want you to walk through those very dry bones. I want you to see the situation here. You see, there was a battle here. It was a battlefield, and the slain had not been buried. There were no corpses. There were no skulls or skeletons. Nothing but bones. Just bones scattered everywhere. Do you know what that spoke of? A slaughter. A real slaughter. Bones scattered everywhere. Skulls, bones of the hands, bones of the feet, bones of arms, bones of legs. In other words, a scene of utter slaughter and defeat. And they were lying there. Ah, yes, the other soldiers had left the battlefield and just left those bones there. And they were lying so long that the juices of the marrow bones had been sapped out of them. In other words, there was absolutely no sign of life. Nothing but utter decay and death. They'd been left to rot. But I want you to remember something else. Once there was life there, because these were people. Once there was life there. And friend, when we look back over our own history, and we remember the days of the movement of the Spirit of God, friend, there was the signs of God's gracious movement among us. But you know, there are those perhaps even in the congregation of Coleraine that once were on fire for God, once they were sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God. But they've lost that. They've lost that. Once they had the joy of the Lord, which the Bible says the joy of the Lord is their strength, but they've lost the joy. Once they were on fire for God and they would do anything for God and for God's service and servant. But pride entered in and worldliness came in. And their hearts became dry. Is that you tonight? Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is that soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? Is your soul in a dry place? Child of God, are you living a defeated life? And as God's servant went through those bones, I felt, you know, God's servant felt uncomfortable. Can I ask you this? Are you comfortable about the situation in Ulster, spiritually? Are you comfortable that men and women are going to hell, even of your family and your loved ones? When the Lord Jesus looked at the multitude, the Bible said He was moved with compassion. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and it disturbed the Savior. It touched His heart. It broke His heart. What about you and me? As we see the death and decay and the desolation all around us, and men and women are going to hell, do we care? I remember the child of God that one day was sitting in the streets of Glasgow, and his mother went into the shop and he was sitting outside. And when she came outside, he was sitting in tears. And she said, "What's wrong, son?" "Ah, mother, mother, do you not hear it? Do you not hear? Do you not hear the countless feet going down to hell?" And all around you tonight, in your estate, in your towns and villages, men and women are living in sin. The Spirit of God needs to just show us the awfulness of the situation, the stirring. But then notice secondly, the soul searching, verse number 3. "And God said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live?" And God asked him a question. Now, humanly speaking, the answer was very simple, friend. Because what Ezekiel saw, there were very, very many bones and very dry. It was absolutely impossible for them to live. And the answer of the flesh was this: no. Because humanly speaking, those bones were beyond recovery. But notice what the Lord didn't ask him. The Lord did not say to Ezekiel, "Ezekiel, can you make those bones live?" He didn't say that. He says, "Ezekiel, do you believe? Do you really believe that those bones can live?" Friend, do you really believe that God can sweep across this land again with a gracious movement of His Spirit and revive His people and save the lost again? Do you really believe it? Now, God wasn't asking this for information, because God knew exactly what He was going to do. But He says, "Do you believe? Do you believe, Ezekiel, that these bones can live?" And friend, the prophet gave the answer, the only answer that faith could give. What did he say? "O Lord God, Thou knowest." God is in your hand. And you and I need to remember this, friend. No preacher will come to Coleraine pulpit to bring revival. It's not in his power. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. God's the God of revival. And I believe with all my heart that God is able to do this. And so he cries out to Ezekiel, says, O Lord God, thou knowest. Because I believe that what he saw, God was teaching Ezekiel that there was nothing that he could do about it. It was impossible for him to do anything. His total reliance was simply upon God. And the only answer is in God. And I believe that's the only answer for Ulster tonight. We sing the hymn, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. And friend, God has sent revival in the past, and he's our only hope. For with man, this is impossible. You know, whenever he looked at those bones, you know the old proverb, where there's life, there's hope. But there was no life. There's no life here. So therefore, humanly speaking, it's hopeless. Ezekiel said to the Lord, Ah, Lord God, thou knowest. It's in thy hand. And then notice thirdly the speaking here. Because God then said this to Ezekiel. Verse number 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring a flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. You know, God asked Ezekiel to do the strangest thing. Humanly speaking, there was no sense in it at all. He says, prophesy unto these dry bones. What does that mean? It means preach. Preach unto those dry bones. Now let me tell you, my friend. If you saw our brother Higginson standing preaching to a skeleton on the corner of a street in Coleraine, you'd either do one or two things. You'd either get a doctor or a police. Because he's a danger to himself or he's a danger to the people. But God says to him, preach. I want you to, Ezekiel, I want you to preach to that bunch of dry bones. It may seem crazy, it may seem silly, and humanly speaking it is. But God says, preach to those dry bones. Friend, I believe there's something that Ulster needs afresh. This land needs preachers of the Word of God. Preachers that are unafraid to preach the whole counsel of God. Preachers that will stand in the pulpit and, my friend, will condemn sin and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and exhort men and women who are lost in sin to come as sinners to Jesus and receive the Savior and be redeemed by His precious blood. Ezekiel, preach to these dry bones. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel to do some other strange things. He told him to eat the roll or the scroll of lamentations and mournings and woes. He told him to shut himself up in a house. Then he told him to lie on his left side for 390 days. He told him to lie on his right side for some 40 days. He told him to take a sharp knife and cut the hair of his head and his beard and to burn a part and to scatter a part of it. All strange things. Sometimes, yes, we're looked upon as if we're fools. for Christ. Because God has ordained that through the foolishness of preaching, that he will save them that believe. What did Ezekiel do, friend? It says in verse 7, so I preached. I prophesied. You say, why did he do such a foolish thing? He did it, look at verse 7 again, as I was commanded. He told him what God told him to do. He went as far as what God told him to do. And friend, it may make no sense as far as man's concerned, but God knows what he's doing. Let me ask you a question as a Christian. How far are you willing to go for God? Are you willing to be looked upon as a fool for Christ? He said, Ezekiel, preach to those dry bones. Say unto them. Do you remember what Mary said to the Savior's disciples? She said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Friend, you and I are under a great commission. Jesus said to his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Here am I, Lord. Send somebody else. Is that right? Or tonight in this meeting in Coleraine, are you saying to God in your heart, Lord, whatever you want me to do, should I be looked upon as a fool, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. He said, preach. What was he to preach? The word of God. Just what God gave him. And that's what Paul said to Timothy. He says, Timothy, preach the word. And that's what we're to be, friend. That's what Ulster needs, men that stand anointed by the Spirit of God that will preach the whole counsel of God, unashamed of the gospel of Christ, believing it is the power of God unto salvation. And thank God there's power in the Word of God today, and it's still as powerful as ever it was. The Word of God has not lost its power. You know what God says? He says, Ezekiel, when you do what I tell you, there will be results. Notice what God says. He says, you preach to them. You prophesy unto them. And you tell them what I have said. I will cause breath to enter into you. And you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you. And I will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin. And I'll put breath in you and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Oh, that's what Ulster needs. We need again the breath of God. We need the power of God to be manifested. Notice God's purposes were to be clear. And God's promises were to be declared. I will, says God, and ye shall. You see, this is God's work. It's not ours. Ezekiel was not asked to work anything up for him into a frenzy. He wasn't to work up something where people would lose control of themselves just because of some emotional lift. He was to go as far as God told him to go. And God says, you preach my purposes, my promises. And God gave Ezekiel the message to proclaim. Notice he didn't leave it to Ezekiel to decide what to say. God gave him the message. And thank God we have a book here. This is God's word. And Paul just said to young Timothy before he laid down his life for the gospel's sake, he says, Timothy, I charge you before God. He says, Timothy, preach the word. Preach my word. And that's what God told his child to do. Now notice, after the speaking, notice the supernatural did happen. Go to verse number 7. And it says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. The word there is a thundering. And behold, a shaking. In other words, there was an earthquake. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. The day of Pentecost was a sound from heaven. And here there's a sound. There's a noise. There's a rattling. There's a shaking. And when God visits, things are going to happen. Things are sure to happen. When God visits a congregation, when God visits a neighborhood, when God visits a country, when God visits a nation, something is going to stir. Something is going to happen. Sad reality is this. Very few people expect anything to happen these days. I remember as a young lad preaching the gospel. When I would go to a gospel mission or Sunday night, when we would come to a Sunday night service, a gospel service, when I would come home, as sure as anything would get into the home, the phone would ring. It was my mother at the other end of the phone, and she'd say, William, did anybody get saved tonight? Always expecting somebody getting saved. Have we lost that? Instead of an expectation, let's be quite honest. For many of God's people, it would be a surprise if God was to save somebody. Because they're not expecting it anymore. What's happened, friend? Have we lost the vision? The expectation? And the Bible says here there was a great stirring. And you know, when God moves in a land, there will be a stirring. And thank God, God's people will get right with God. And the sinners will cry out unto God for salvation. That's what God did in days that are past. Not only in the 1859 revival, friend. In the missions that Dr. Paisley used to hold around the countryside. You would hear men and women crying under conviction of sin. Longing to be saved. Could hardly wait till the end of the meeting to run to the preacher and say, preacher, lead me to Christ. Yes, there was a stirring. Yes, something will happen. Sometimes there will be opposition. Sometimes there will be persecution. But when God's word's preached and the power of the Spirit of God, something will happen. It happened here. What happened here? It says, behold, a shaking, verse 7, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Now get this. It says, bone to his bone. And what happened, friend? Just like a mighty, powerful magnetic force was activated, and the bones started whizzing past each other through the air. Not in confusion. But every bone was pulled back to the other bones of that original body. Back to the original partners. They didn't just join up with anything. Bone came back to his bone. And God pulled them back. You know what God did? He just reassembled the body structure again. Now that's not too hard for God then. Wasn't he the one that made it in the first place? Could he not do it again? The God of revival in the days of our past, friend, can God not do it again? Do you believe it? And then notice what happened. Look at verse number 8. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh come up upon them. Upon what? Upon the bones. And then it says, and the skin covered them. Above. There's no breath in them. In other words, after the bones took their proper position in the original body, the work continued. Sinews and flesh. Notice something here. Everything done in order. This is not confusion. This is not the charismatic confusion. I want to tell you, my friend, everything was done decently and in order. The bones, first of all, came together. And then we find, the Bible says, the sinews and the flesh came and the skin covered them above. Didn't put the skin and squeeze the bones into the skin. No, everything was done in order. Every part was in its place. Do you remember what I said earlier on? What was lying there in that valley was not a body of dead corpses. No. Just bones scattered everywhere. In a great slaughter. But now notice there's a valley of dead corpses. Because God has brought the body back again. There's still a problem. But there's no breath in them. You see, they had the outward appearance of life. But they were still dead. And I can tell you, preachers can inspire people, can motivate people, can instruct people, but they haven't the power to give life, spiritual life. That's God alone. The gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Until a man comes to saving faith in Jesus Christ, then he sits as a dead soul, dead man, a corpse, dead in his trespasses and his sin. No life. But here's the last thought. Here's the standing. Verse number 9, then said he unto me. You see, God's not going to leave it that way. A valley of dead corpses is not going to do anything for God. Need life. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord. The word of authority. When a man stands and preaches God's word, he has authority. Thus saith the Lord. It's not the authority of the presbytery. It's not the authority of the church. It's not the authority of the denomination. It's the authority of God. He says, say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord. And you see, when you bring God into it, friend, and it's of God, then it's got to happen. The Lord Jesus stood up in the boat. Do you remember he was lying there in the hinder part of the ship? He was fast asleep. And they came to the Lord Jesus and said, Lord Jesus, do you not care that we perish? And Jesus stood up in the boat and he said to the wind and the waves, be still. And immediately there was a great calm. You see, friend, remember this. God was the one that made it in the first place. And the wind is under God's control. For he who sits in the heaven doeth whatsoever he hath pleased. And there's something you learn. God's sovereign in everything. And you know, I just want you to see this as we come close to the end. You know, God could have done this without Ezekiel, but God ordained to do it with him. God used him as the instrument. And there's a body lying there, and there's a brain was in the head, but it wasn't thinking. The lungs were in the body, but they weren't breathing. The heart was in its place, but it wasn't beating. Because there's no life. You know, you and I can organize. And you and I can set our programs for revival and initiate all the efforts that we can make. But if God's not in it, there'll be no revival. Without me, don't forget this, ye can do nothing. Nothing. You know, Ezekiel, he obeyed the Lord and he said, thus saith the Lord, come from, verse 9, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded. In other words, he just stuck at the job. He stayed the course. He wasn't satisfied until the work that God had brought him to do was done. And he prophesied to the winds, and the winds obeyed the God of glory. You see, whenever Ezekiel knew the will of God and the mind of God, friend, as far as he was concerned, there was no question about it. It would happen. He was waiting it to happen. And what does the Bible say? Verse 10. And the breath came into them, and they lived. Miraculously, life was given. Oh, God knows how our land needs the breath of God. And friend, nothing else will do. You can have all your plans. And you can have all your organization. But except God be in it, then nothing will happen. And you know what happened? It says, and the breath came into them, and they lived. Dead bones! What was the question? Can these dead bones live? Can they live? He says, and they lived. But not only did they live, friend, look at it. And they stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great
army.
Before this happened, they had been in a battle. They were in the army. But they were defeated. But now God puts them back on their feet. Gets them ready for battle. And they stood an exceeding great army. And God said to Ezekiel, you tell the children of Israel, I'm going to do it again. Yes, they've been brought into bondage. But I'm going to bring them home. Thank God, here's a vision of hope. A vision of victory. A vision of revival. God raises up a spirit-filled army. Ready for the battle. That's what Coleraine needs. That's what Macrofelt needs. That's what Ulster needs. You know, the days of God's blessing are not over. For God is still on the throne. Are you discouraged tonight? Do you think that all is lost? They did. But God, He's the answer. And thank God He's still the answer today. Your task is to stand up and to march on and to look to Him, for He's the captain of your salvation. Get your eyes on the Lord tonight. And pray, God, do it again. Do it again. Let thy people be rejoice in thee. Ezekiel, can these dead bones live? Do you believe it? Brother, do you really believe it? Sister? He says, Ah, Lord God, thou knowest, it's all in thy hand. Thank God, He's still able, mighty to see it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that when everything looks hopeless, that thou art able in the midst of our total inability. We thank thee, our God, that thou art able to lift your people up again, revive them, stir them, as a mighty, great army to do battle for King Jesus. Bless thy word to our hearts. And help us to stand in the gap. And having done all, to keep standing. For Jesus' sake. Amen.